I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks podcast powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy to have you on board to the podcast once again. Hope your week is off to a great start. I know it is for BYU basketball, as the Cougars have been reeling in some big names. They've made some big announcements, and a lot of good news is going the way of Mark Pope and the BYU basketball program. I'll break it all down on this newest episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast, your daily look inside the world of BYU athletics, and it's always powered by KSLSports.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @Mitch_Harper, Instagram as well, @MitchHarperKSL, and follow KSL Sports on all the socials, @KSLSports. So here's what we got on the docket for today. Brandon Averett, he's the newest member of the BYU basketball program. You know all about him already. Well, you thought you did. We'll get to know him a little bit more in depth in my one-on-one interview that I had with the Utah Valley transfer, who's now the newest member of the BYU basketball program. And I got to say, I'm very excited about this guy. I was out in St. George over the weekend. I did the Cougar Sports Saturday out in St. George. I was there throughout the weekend getting a little bit of a recharge before we hunker down and get ready for football and men's basketball. And I was there in St. George over the weekend. So that's why I was a little bit light in terms of social media content with all of you guys over the weekend. But it was a nice thing to see getting that announcement officially done. We knew it was going to happen, that Brandon Averett was going to be coming through the pipeline. But to see it official, it's always a exciting thing. And BYU basketball, getting Brandon Averett is a big deal. And I caught up with him earlier today discussing his commitment to the Cougars and what it took, why he chose BYU, and also some of the other programs that recruited him, because I don't think people are realizing the sheer volume of programs out on the West Coast from the mid-majors, a few P5s, showed interest in Brandon Averett. He's a talented guard, and he's the perfect fit for what BYU wants. We'll get a little bit more in-depth with Brandon coming up a little bit later in the show. Also, BYU basketball scheduling news. We'll get you an update on the non-conference schedule. And then also the BYU football player countdown rolls on with a tight end that is a new face in the program this year as we're 80 days till kickoff. But we'll start things off with a guy that's presumed to potentially be a future BYU Cougar, that being Caleb Lohner. Lohner, of course, a former Wasatch Academy star, has officially been released from his national letter of intent with the University of Utah. Utah made the announcement on Monday afternoon that Lohner had been notified that he's been released fully from his national letter of intent, which gives him the opportunity and sets the table for him to transfer to BYU, sign a letter of intent with the Cougars, enroll at BYU in the fall, and be eligible to play this season. Larry Kraskowiak issued a statement and had this to say, quote, "We are obviously very disappointed in Caleb's recent decision requesting a release from his NLI. However, we will honor his wishes and turn our focus towards the motivated, talented, and connected players and coaches that are committed to our program. We look forward to getting back on the court together this fall and return to prominence within the Pac-12, end quote. Larry Kraskowiak's always one to throw a little jab in there. Isn't that kind of the feeling? I mean, look, it's a quote, and I know it's not the perfect situation for him. But at the end of the day, we're talking about, what, an 18-year-old kid making a decision. And I think a lot of people are wondering, Is there tampering going on? Is there some kind of illegal activity? I would honestly say, folks, Caleb Lohner is a young person going through life. And is it possible, like think about when you were 17, 18, 19 years old, is it possible that maybe just Caleb said, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go to BYU. Keep in mind, Caleb Lohner always wanted to be a BYU guy. But a coaching change between Dave Rose and Mark Pope, and maybe that lack of familiarity with Mark Pope, kind of set up an opportunity for other programs like Utah that were not considered to be potential landing spots for Lohner. They kind of rose up the charts. And when Lohner moved from Texas to Utah, played at Wasatch Academy, he gave Utah a great opportunity to potentially land the signature of Lohner. And that's what they got. They got Caleb Lohner, who's a four-star talent. He's kind of like an old-school type of player. Some guys have compared him to, you know, George Niang, member of the Utah Jazz, former Iowa State Cyclone, who BYU played when he was in college. Really good player at Iowa State and a good player in the NBA as well. That's kind of Caleb Lohner's potential, I think, best-case scenario at the college level. But I really just feel that it was a situation where he just kind of had a change of heart. I don't think it was anything to do about style of play. I mean, maybe he's kind of foreshadowing what could be, but the guy's never played in a practice, never been fully on campus as a student yet. I think he just kind of looked at the situation and thought, I want to be at BYU. I'm a better fit at BYU. And I think that's what kind of happened here. And when you ask to be released from your national letter of intent, even if you haven't been released yet, you're fair game to talk to other schools. And that's what happened. BYU then started to talk to Caleb Lohner after he requested the NLI release. And there away we went. And I think it's good that Utah ultimately released him from the letter of intent, because what's the purpose of holding out? I think, honestly, though, Larry Kraskowiak would have potentially holded off as long as he maybe could, but potentially had some pressure from Mark Harlan to just get it done and move on. We'll see what happens, you know, but Utah's had a situation there where they've lost a lot of guys. Caleb Lohner, Booth Gotch. I mean, you can go on and on of the names that Utah has lost over the years. And I think Lohner was going to factor into the conversation for one of the top players on their team next year. They got a good nucleus in Rylan Jones. Alfonso Plummer comes back. Ian Martinez is going to be a really good player who they signed in this heralded recruiting class. Look, BYU versus Utah coming up in December, that thing is going to have some heat to it. Dare I say, the basketball rivalry is getting a little more juice now than football. Am I right? Because it feels like last year, you know, Mark Pope and Larry Kraskowiak and BYU and Utah had a little bit of a post-game scuffle. Nothing too serious. It was just some hot, you know, heated moments. You know, a game just ended, a heated game that went to overtime, and one team won, the other lost, and emotions are going to fly. Things were probably said. And then you add this to it. You know, I think that this is going to be a heated, heated rivalry potentially again. But I think BYU is going to have the upper hand, maybe, if they take care of business. They got to prove that, because remember, last year, Utah did beat BYU. But either way, though, I think Caleb Lohner just had a change of heart. I don't think people should honestly think too much of it. I think it's just simply the young person that is Caleb Lohner wanted to make a switch. And I think people need to respect that. I think this narrative of, is there improprieties? Is there tampering? Look, I think you'd be naive to suggest that there's no tampering in college basketball. But I think, though, I really think for the most part, BYU and a lot of programs in the state, they're doing it the right way. They're trying to as much as they humanly can. It's difficult in this college basketball landscape where schools are cheating left and right and no one's getting punished at all. But I really do think BYU's trying to do it on the up and up and doing it as well as they can. And Caleb Lohner had a change of heart, and that's all there is to it. And no one's getting jobs. No one's getting this and that to come to the school. That's not happening. I think Caleb Lohner just wanted to be a BYU guy. He's a BYU kid. And that's the thing, too, is that when you hear that, you think, oh, that's just what they're saying right now. But that is a real thing. It really is. Like, there are young people that just grow up dreaming of going to BYU. A couple weeks ago, I talked with Cosmo, the guy that was the Cosmo mascot the past few years for BYU. And he said it in the interview. You can hear it on Cougar Tracks. It was a great interview. Really kind of fascinating stuff into what goes into being Cosmo. But he even said, he's like, I dreamed of going to BYU like my whole life. I wasn't going to be an athlete as far as a football player or basketball player, but I dreamed of going to BYU and attending that school. And I think that's the case for a lot of individuals. And a guy like Caleb Lohner, who had a dad that played at BYU, and he always probably thought of himself as a BYU kid. And then you maybe have a little bit of buyer's remorse after you end up signing with Utah. You maybe see the trajectory of that program compared to what Mark Pope and that program's got going down in Provo. You're probably thinking, I made a mistake. I want to change. I want to go to a different school. And that's what happened. I really believe that. And it was interesting to see, you know, members of Utah's basketball program, like Rylan Jones, tweeting out, I am 100% committed to Utah basketball. Why is that needed? Rylan Jones didn't declare for the NBA draft. Rylan Jones didn't enter the transfer portal. Why did he need to announce he's 100% committed? I think it was a veiled shot at Caleb Lohner, to be completely honest. But hey, it is what it is. And I think that the heat, the intensity of the rivalry game, it's great. It's good for the state. It's good for, I think, both programs. I think for Utah, they need to try to find a way to get a win over a team like BYU, because they got to get to the NCAA tournament. I mean, Larry Krzyzewski's in a situation where he's one of the highest paid college basketball coaches in the country. You got to get to the big dance. And he's not putting up enough results to get it done. Whereas Mark Pope's kind of the hot commodity now, I think, in the state and potentially on the West Coast. I mean, Pope is rising up the ranks of being one of the hot commodities in college basketball, and for good reason. He's assembling a heck of a roster, and you look at BYU's team next year, it's stacked. I mean, we've talked about it already on the program, but they've got great senior leadership now in Brandon Averett, Matt Harms, Alex Barcelo. I mean, that's a great trio to have as seniors. Suddenly, you go from a team that had no seniors, and then instantly, those are probably going to be three of your best players, again, atop the roster as seniors. That's a good problem to have for BYU. Then you still got underclassmen like Colby Lee, Jesse Wade, Richard Harward, Spencer Johnson, a newcomer, Gavin Baxter, Connor Harding, Gideon George, Wyatt Lowell, Trevin Nell, Hunter Erickson. Goodness gracious, that is a loaded roster. And then you add Lohner to that mix, good things happening for BYU basketball. And they're going to be playing a good schedule, too, this year. Lohner, Averett, all these guys going to play a really good schedule coming up in 2020-2021. I think there's more balance, too, which is a positive for this year's schedule, because last season, that non-conference slate was a bit one-sided. I mean, it was just every single night. You couldn't catch a breath. I mean, it was nonstop going. Whereas I feel like this upcoming year's schedule is good once again, but I feel like it's a little more manageable, where I can look at that schedule and say, hey, BYU, they could run the table. They could win it all. They could win all these games in the non-conference schedule. Let's look at the non-conference schedule. They got Oregon, who's going to be a neutral game in Portland. We knew about that game a few weeks ago. 24/7 Sports wrote about it. I even reached out to Oregon officials, and they're like, I believe it's still on the docket, but we'll see until we get official word. That's been now reported for November 17th in the Phil Knight Invitational. Junkanoo Jam in the Bahamas. BYU is going to face George Mason and then play the winner or loser of Tulsa Boston College. UVU at home. San Diego State on the road. I think San Diego State takes a little bit of a step back this year. I mean, just because you lose, you know, Malachi Flynn, there's going to be a little bit of regression, but the Aztecs should be good once again. Utah State on the road. Utah, that game I've been talking about, December 12th, that is going to be fantastic. Cannot wait for that one. Arizona State in Phoenix, going to be a really good game, December 19th. Weber State, December 23rd, and then Boise State coming to the Marriott Center as well. So I'm sure you're going to see probably some, you know, Cal State Fullerton added as well, but a really good schedule that BYU is assembling. And it's also regionally based, which is probably a positive too, in this COVID-19 pandemic where you probably want to limit travel as much as humanly possible. There's a lot of regional flair to BYU's non-conference schedule. Doesn't have the Kansases, doesn't have those signature blue blood brands like you did last year, but still a really good non-conference schedule. And one of the guys that's going to help BYU navigate that non-conference schedule is Brandon Averett, newest member of the BYU basketball program. And you can hear my interview one-on-one with Brandon coming up next here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Cougar Tracks here on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. Mitch Harper here, and we're talking BYU basketball as the Cougars landed another big-time addition to the 2020-2021 roster. This time, it's graduate transfer guard Brandon Averett, who makes the quick trip down University Parkway from Utah Valley University to play for Mark Pope and BYU. Now I'm fortunate to be joined by the newest member of the BYU basketball program. He is Brandon Averett. Brandon, welcome into the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, first off, congrats on the commitment, Brandon. I know that this past year and a half, you've been in Utah County at UVU, so you've probably crossed paths with BYU fans the past year and a half or so, but did you know how passionate Cougar fans truly were prior to you announcing your commitment on Friday?
I actually had no idea how passionate their fans were. But I just remember during the whole recruiting process of the transfer portal, I just remember Coach Pope just saying, like, if you do decide to come here and you make the announcement, it's definitely going to blow up and Cougar Nation is going to go crazy. So, I mean, it definitely exceeded the expectations that I was expecting. So, it's been great.
Well, I'm excited to kind of dive into that process in the transfer portal a little bit later. But I do want to go back to your time in high school, because you were a heralded star in the high school basketball scene at Richardson High in Richardson, Texas. I believe you were the leading scorer in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in 6A ball. You played multi-sports. How valuable was it for you as an athlete in high school to play multiple sports growing up before settling on basketball?
It was definitely valuable, you know, just getting that competitive nature in me, I feel like, most of all. And it just built, just over time, it just built within me. And I just started to love winning and just wanting to win at all costs, you know. So I honestly feel like my competitive nature came from football and my aggression and all that came from football. And I just kind of put it all into one. So me playing a lot of different sports has definitely been helpful in my life.
And you end up coming out of high school, you end up going to Oklahoma State to play for Brad Underwood, who I know you had a connection with there from what I've gathered. How was that experience in Stillwater going up against Power 5 competition on a nightly basis?
That was a great experience. You know, I mean, that's kind of what I've been working my entire life to do, is just to be able to put my skills against guys that way better than me, kind of thing, you know. I came into college playing against guys going into the NBA. I had a NBA point guard on my team named Juwan Evans, so going against him every day definitely changed my game, and it kind of gave me a new perception on basketball. So it definitely helped me in a way that I can't even really explain.
And you ended up, you know, you did transfer from Oklahoma State. You end up at Utah Valley. And I'm curious because, if I'm not mistaken, when you transferred, that was before the transfer portal became a thing, I believe. So I'm curious, Brandon, was there a connection already established with Mark Pope, Cody Feger, and Burgess at the time? Or did they approach you? How did you get in contact with them when they were at UVU?
So at UVU, my best friend Benjamin McQuaff, he was the point guard at UVU about 2 years ago. So that was really, he kind of connected us. So once I announced that I wanted to transfer, he kind of got in touch with me and just was like, man, I think UVU would be kind of a great spot for you. And I have a great coach, head coach, and he's a real good up-and-coming coach. He felt like, and I kind of blew him off a little bit, and I remember Cody Feger getting in touch with me like a day or two later, and I just remember falling in love with all of them immediately. And about a week later, Coach Pope, he came to my house in Dallas, Texas, and we talked about it. 2 or 3 hours, he talked to me and my whole family, just kind of giving us the vision of everything, and we all fell in love with it. So that's really kind of how everything transpired.
And you graduate from UVU this past year. You got your degree in hand, undergrads taken care of, and you decide to enter the portal. This is, like I said, I mean, a different process than transferring before, because now you got the portal and everyone can see you're in there, and coaches can start contacting like crazy. Was Pope and were you hoping in the back of your mind that Pope and his crew would contact you again to come to BYU, or were you kind of open to anything?
I was definitely wanting to hear from Coach Pope, you know, just because, I mean, I committed to him at UVU, and I never got to play for him, you know. So that was kind of something I was bummed out about after my redshirt season. So I was definitely looking forward to hearing from him and the staff that recruited me to UVU.
And Mark Pope, so did you pick who were some of the other schools that ended up, you know, reaching out to you when you arrived in the portal along with BYU?
There were a bunch of schools. I mean, basically, I feel like every school in Utah got in touch with me. There's a lot of mid-majors, Portland, San Diego State. It was a bunch of schools. I can't even remember all of them. But honestly, the entire time, I kind of knew where I wanted to be and who I wanted to play under. So I'm excited that everything actually got to work out the way it did.
And what makes Mark Pope and Coach Feger and Burgess, what makes them so kind of special on recruiting? Because I feel like they form great relationships with guys. And as coaches, I mean, you mentioned Ben DeQuassa. He was speaking highly of Coach Pope and that staff. Like, what is it that they do that makes them such talented coaches, but also good people away from the court as well?
They're just like such genuine people. Like they gain their players' trust, and with that, they find a way to maximize their talents. You know, I mean, they bring stuff out of players that honestly sometimes we don't even see in ourselves. You know, so I mean, just playing on a coach that instills confidence in you is just such a great feeling. And then on top of that, he actually cares about you as a human being. You have a real relationship on and off the court. So I just think the way they build their trust with their players is definitely something that sets them apart from a lot of coaching staff.
I love what Mark Pope said on Friday in the press release that announcing your signature to BYU. Said, Brandon Averett is one of the most explosive, cat-quick, clever playmakers in college basketball. Is Coach Pope accurate in that assessment? Are you one of the more clever playmakers in college hoops?
Yes. I mean, I would like to say that about myself. That's definitely somehow crazy from Coach Pope. But, I mean, yeah, I actually would like to call myself one of the best players all around in the country. You know, I mean, that's what I work for, and That's the type of confidence I have in my skill set. So.
And it really feels like Pope and his staff, they've done a great job with players getting, having them improve under their watch. I mean, last year at BYU, I don't know how much you've got to see of what BYU did in terms of film last year, but a guy like who's going to be in the backcourt with you, Alex Barcelo, he improved significantly in three-point shooting a season ago from his days at Arizona. What areas of your game do you want to get better in this 1 year that you have at BYU?
I definitely want to improve my playmaking ability, my assist numbers. I want them to go up, my 3-point percentage. I mean, really everything. I just want everything to kind of go up and just continue to grow my game and just to help the team win, you know, just to kind of show people that my ultimate competitive nature, you know, I just want to kind of just show more people what I'm capable of doing, basically.
And, you know, having you know, a relationship with coaches is a great thing, but I think it's also important when you're picking a new school to maybe have relationships with players or have that bond when you're going through the recruiting process with players on the program you're maybe choosing. And I got to think, Brandon, I mean, you were playing with guys like Richard Harward, Wyatt Lowe. Did you have built-in relationships with these guys when you arrived in the portal? Were they reaching out to you to come to BYU as well?
Not really, but I mean, definitely me, Wyatt, and Richard definitely have a pretty different relationship, you know, from them coming at UVU and stuff like that. But I mean, it wasn't too many players that got in touch with me, but I'm roommates with some of the players now, and everybody's great. We're all getting along great, and we're just getting to know each other better every day. So it's been very exciting.
Who are some of the guys that you're currently roommates with?
So I'm roommates with Alex Barcelo, Matt Harms, and I think that's it as far as players on the team.
That's great. And so how has the BYU, I mean, when do you start classes? I know it's craziness with the pandemic and everything that's going on, and grad programs are no joke. What's kind of the plans for you and your next steps to be in school and classes? When does that all begin for you?
I have a few other classes to finish out this summer. I have like six more credits to finish, and then I'll be graduated. But I got accepted in the BYU graduation program, and I think that starts up in August when school starts. And I don't know if that's going to be an in-class thing or online, but I'm really not sure how they're going to go about this schooling thing, if they're going to go back to normal or if they're going to kind of switch things up a little bit. But right now, I think it's just we're regularly scheduled right now as far as I know.
What grad program are you going to be participating in when you're on campus at BYU?
I think it's called Biology and Sciences, something like that.
Well, great. BYU, it's definitely a tough school for sure. I'm sure you'll thrive and have a lot of success. And I know Cougar fans are excited to see you on the court as well. I mean, and just finally, before we let you go, Brandon, I mean, what's maybe the potential you think for one, you, and two, just the team as a whole? Because you mentioned, you know, your roommates with Matt Harms, and he's a guy that could be one of the best bigs in college basketball next year. And AB's a senior. I mean, you guys as seniors, there's a lot of potential with this group. I mean, what are you expecting for what this team could be coming up in 2020, 2021?
Well, for one, I definitely expect this to go to the NCAA tournament and be playing during March Madness. And secondly, with that, I feel like this team has definitely the potential to go nothing less than 316. So that's kind of what we've been discussing, and that's where we feel like this potential. I mean, this team has potentially the talent to do, and we're going to definitely work for it, and we're going to do whatever we can to make that happen.
He's the newest member of the BYU basketball program. He's grad transfer Brandon Averett from Utah Valley University. Brandon, again, congrats on your commitment, and thanks for joining me here today on Cougar Tracks.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right, big thanks to Brandon Averett for joining me here on Cougar Tracks. Great stuff there from Brandon, and it's pretty cool that he's roommates with Harms and Barcelo, the three seniors going to lead the way for BYU this season. Mark Pope talks about it, man. Seniors can do magical things. And getting that close relationship with those three seniors, I think, will be important for BYU to have that component to the roster once again. Because that was one of the missing pieces a couple months ago when you're looking at 2020 and 2021. You're thinking, okay, you got AB, but outside of that, do you have that senior leadership to kind of carry you through some tough times? Because last year, Jake Tolson, he was an All-American type of player. He was as good as advertised, and then some. Yoeli Childs was a stud, one of the best players BYU basketball fans have seen since Jimmer Fredette. And those seniors carried the day. Zach Selyus types, they won the day. Dalton Nixon, the glue, the heart and soul. But having three seniors on the team that are going to be really good for BYU, it's a big piece. It's a big component. And I like Brandon Averett's story, too. You know, dual sport athlete coming out of high school. I mean, you go look back at his days at Richardson High School down in Texas. I mean, you're talking 6A ball.
in Dallas-Fort Worth. He's one of the leading scorers. He was the leading scorer his senior year, averaging 22 points per game. So he's someone that put up big numbers for his high school coming out. And lightly recruited, originally committed to Stephen F. Austin, then ends up at Oklahoma State, follows Brad Underwood to Stillwater. And, hey, he showed well at Oklahoma State. Had some big plays, had some big games, started in some games for the Cowboys. So a ton of experience. But I think this is now kind of like the breakthrough fit for Brandon Averett. And I think he's grateful for the opportunity to be at BYU. And I think BYU is grateful to have him, because without him, I think there'd be that little bit of a missing piece component to this roster without another ball handler to complement Alex Barcelo. But you add Averett, and suddenly this roster just feels deep. It feels talented that anything is possible. And you look at college basketball next year, Gonzaga is the preseason national champion favorite. So just to assume that BYU maybe can knock off the Zags next year, look, it's going to be as tough as ever. But BYU is better equipped than ever before to withstand the challenges two or three times in a season against Gonzaga than they ever have before. Because remember last year, without Yoeli Childs, BYU lost by, what, about 30 points to Gonzaga? It was like 28? I can't remember exactly. But BYU got crushed. They won in Provo and didn't get that chance in Vegas to face off against the Zags again. But I think you're going to have to defeat Gonzaga. If you want to win a conference title, you want to get back to the dance, you want to win a conference tournament title, you got to beat the Zags at least two times. At least. And it's going to be a tough road to hoe. But having these seniors, having Brandon Averett, having the depth and the versatility that this roster has, look, I know last year's team was good. This team can be better. And that's a crazy thought to think. But the talent that's now suddenly on this roster, it's good days right now for BYU basketball. And we'll continue to count it down and waiting for that day when BYU basketball returns so we can get back to action on the hardwood, because I'm looking forward to that for BYU basketball this fall and winter. It's going to be a good time for the Cougar Cagers. Last thing before we go and get out of the show here, the BYU football player countdown. We're 80 days till kickoff between BYU and Utah. We're looking forward to that day as well. September 3rd, can't get here soon enough. Number 80 on the BYU football team is a walk-on tight end with Cougars who joined the program this year. His name's Lane Lunt. Lunt, a walk-on out of Arizona, a junior college transfer. Lunt, 6'3", 205-pound tight end out of Pima High School, played at Eastern Arizona JC and then Butler JC as well, because Eastern Arizona, they shut down. JC junior college football shut down in Arizona. He's part of the BYU football program and was there this past spring. He's going to have 3 years to play, too, in his BYU football career. So most likely, going to redshirt this year, learn under guys like Matt Bushman, learn under guys like Isaac Rex, Bentley Hanshaw, Carter Wheat. BYU stacked, they're loaded at tight end. But hey, a guy like Lane Lunt, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who served a mission, got a little bit of a relationship, I believe, with Gunnar Romney because they played high school football in the same region, I believe. So, hey, there's a guy that has connections to some players on the team, member of the church, got good size, he's got some ability. So he competed in spring ball, going to probably be a redshirt, I would imagine, this year. And we'll kind of keep tabs of Lane Lunt and what he can be. But he's a PWO, someone to keep an eye on down the road in a stacked tight end room that continues to just have a ton of names. I mean, I forgot to mention Hank Tuipulotu as well. The tight ends are in good hands for BYU this year and the years to come. And Lane Lunt is just one of those guys that will compete at tight end this year and in the coming seasons for the BYU football program. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to subscribe to the show on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Leave that 5-star rating and a review. It helps out the show a ton. I'll catch you tomorrow here on the podcast, an interview with Fessy Satake on the show, and a whole lot more. This has been the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.